So thank you very much, Mindy. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Well, it's a very, very, very special evening. In about an hour, it's the Yahrzeit of the Holy L'Ari HaKadosh, L'Arizal. So, and my father's birthday. So in an hour we can dedicate it for my father. But tonight, I want to talk tonight about the 9 days and how they're connected to the building of the Beit HaMikdash and how it's relating to us. But with the request of the host, a little very short intro about my personal story, that I grew up, like Mendy said, in Eretz Yisrael. I grew up extremely, extremely secular. For the ones of you who know the Israelis who are very, very secular, I was number one. I was pulling the flag. You know, in our beautiful Torah, we have a minhag that we say that you can take a mitzvah and you can beautify the mitzvah. Mehader b'mitzvah. So I would mehader b'averot. Shem erachem. I would make sure that I do the sin exactly how it's supposed to do, and that I'm annoying all my neighbors, and that it's done with a stamp. My Kadosh Baruch Hu has the last laugh. And in the year 2001, I left Eretz Yisrael when I was 23. I came to the United States and I was 27 on a very special day. It was a Saturday, it was Shabbat, and it was Yudalit Nisan, the morning of Pesach. The day that the Jews 3,300 years ago left their physical slavery into spiritual freedom. And that's the day that it happened. And I suffered cardiac arrest as a result of drug poisoning in my blood. My heart stopped for 7 minutes. My neshama went out of my body, went up to the heavenly court through a very long process to get there. And exactly how we read in the Sfarim, exactly how we read in our sources, every little thing was exactly how we learn. And for whatever reason, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but the result is obvious. Excuse me? For the ones of you who can go, Baruch Hashem, there are videos online. I have CDs you can take, audio, video. YouTube, everywhere. The thing is that to say 5 minutes is almost like coming to a doctor and telling him, doctor, after 15 years of learning and experience, can you give me in 5 minutes the anatomy of the human being? I can't. It's a 15-year thing. So.
So how's your English so good?
My English is good, Baruch Hashem. My mother's Australian, so I grew up talking in English. Even though I grew up in Eretz Yisrael, I grew up speaking English, and I lived here for 17 years. So that kind of polished it up.
Who's Kala?
My Kala, my wife. She's American, Baruch Hashem. She grew up in America, very secular, and somewhere along the way, she also made a U-turn, a good U-turn.
You made a good turn.
Bemet, if you can't really say this story in 5 minutes, the short version of the story is that I died.
But how did they get to the hospital?
Well, that's a long story. The short version of the story, my neshama left my body. I was hovering over my body. I saw the whole thing from above. The entire physical structure of the world disappeared. There was nothing physical. Everything was spiritual. I was able to see everything. I was able to read everybody's minds. I was able to see through walls. Beyond words. I was hovering over the body and ascending above my body and going higher and higher and higher and taking off. And at some point, I left the sphere of this world into the famous tunnel that everybody's talking about. And through this tunnel experienced thousands of years of isolation and torture and Hashem Yirachem, till I got to the point that I understood that there's nothing but the Kadosh Baruch Hu. To a point that you realize in this world there are two types of realities. The first reality is called the truth, and the second reality is called a lie. And a person can create a lie in this world, hide behind this lie, and if he doesn't tell it to anyone, that is the reality. But this reality only works in this world. In the world above, there's no such a thing. There's only one reality, and that's called truth. There's only one side to the coin. And you cannot bend the truth. And you cannot sugarcoat the truth. And you cannot hide behind anything. The truth is exactly how it is. That's why our sages tell us, teach us, midvar sheker tirchak, don't even come close to a lie. Because if a person gets himself used to lying in this world, which is one of the most severe sins, he'll never get out of it, because a lie right away brings birth to the next lie. You can't end it with one. And more than that, at some point in the world to come, if a person is used to lying all day long and that's his way out, then at some point he's going to lose that option, and then what? And if your entire life is just based on truth, on emet, okay, even if it's embarrassing, even if it's not so comfortable or convenient to share the truth, but that's the truth, and you deal with it. And the problem with most people in our world is that they're not willing to deal with the reality, with the truth. So they hide it behind all sorts of fake realities. And then they live a lie. And then after 50 years, they find out that they're living a lie for 50 years. And this is the worst attitude, because the neshama leaves the body, it doesn't have this reality. It has to deal now with the truth. And I understood and I knew that the only truth is only the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not stam we say en od milvado, because there's nothing but the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then after a million years of suffering in this sphere of darkness, I finally see this godly light, this unbelievable, beautiful, white shining light, which was obvious that behind this light is the master of the universe. What I'm telling you now is really zooming through 5 hours of a lecture into 5 minutes. It seemed like something pulled me into this light. In a split second, I was connected to this source of information. An endless amount of godly wisdom was downloaded to me, like as if I was connected to a main source of information. All the wisdom of the world, all the chokhmah of the world. And in that, I see this panoramic picture of the entire world from the world day it was created till the last day. One long panoramic picture. Billions and billions of details all connected to each other. Everything that we see in this world that does not make sense. Nothing makes sense in this world. You look at this world, all you see is death, horrors, diseases, terror attacks, Holocaust, hardship, suffering. That's what we see in this world. Here and there we see some good things. Very few people are able to see the good in the bad. But the reality is to take any normal person, he will tell you, where's this God that you're talking about? That's supposed to be so good. Everybody's suffering here. The point is that we only see a few pieces from the puzzle. And it's like as if I saw all the puzzle together. Everything was geniusly planned. Unbelievable pleasure just to understand it. But unfortunately, I did not have the ability, or what's called in the professional tense, a vessel to hold this information, so I had to be removed from there into even a greater place, which I found myself completely, completely naked. Of course, naked from mitzvot, there wasn't a body there. And all the souls of all the Jews were around me, standing like a ring, looking at me. Which the feeling was unbelievable shame, because everybody saw through me like a transparent cup. Every thought that I ever had, every word that ever came out of my mouth, every action that I ever did was just open. Everybody saw it. The feeling of shame was not even bearable. It was worse than the entire trip coming there. Worse than that, it felt like I'm standing in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It literally felt like the master of the universe told me, what did you do? It wasn't fear. I wasn't afraid that I'm going to lift up my head and see some monster that's going to kill me or beat me up. It was shame. Because it felt like the master of the universe told me, I sent you to this world with a list this long of things to do and a list this long of things not to do. And everything I told you to do, you did not do. And everything I told you not to do, you did. You messed it up. And I knew they're about to take me to the next room. And I was begging, leave me here for eternity with this suffering. Just don't take me there. Sure enough, they took me there. And I found myself in this huge courtroom. I know I'm in a courtroom. I'm in such a low level, was considered in the biblical term rasha, a wicked person, that my eyes were like sealed. I couldn't see what's in front of me, but I knew I'm in a courtroom. And amazingly, like the Mishnah teaches us, when a person does an avera, does a sin, he creates himself a kategor, a prosecutor. And if you do a mitzvah, you create yourself a senegor, a defense attorney. I don't even know where I had the chutzpah. I look to my left and I see like rows, like battalions of these prosecutors, these scary, scary angels. For everything that I ever did. And I don't even know where I had the nerve. I look to my right and I see two defense attorneys. One was crippled, the other one was blind. It wasn't so funny then. And at this point, they're showing me the movie of my life. They're taking me back into my body in a very weird way because I'm in my body, but I see myself. And they're showing me the movie of my life. Slow motion. 27 years of a slow motion movie. And everything is pointed out. Here you stole, here you lied, here you cheated, here you cursed, here you pushed, here you did, here you took. 27 years of a horror movie because they're showing me every little act that I ever did, every thought that went through my mind, every word that came out of my mouth, and all the souls of all the Jews are standing there, including you. And every person that I ever hurt is standing next to me screaming at me, and every person that I ever stole from is standing there. At some point they were telling me, listen, I mean, it's only bad. They tried to gather all the good things, they pulled out a few mitzvot here and there, but the ratio was like 99.9999 bad and 0.0 nothing good. Which at this point, they basically just gave me two options. Either you go back to this Malach HaMavet that brought you here, or you go back down to this world. And if you choose to go back down to this world, then it comes with conditions. You have to do this and this and that. You have to be living your life like a Jew. Jew. They didn't tell me what's a Jew. They didn't tell me Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, Breslev, Chabad. They didn't tell me that. They told me Jew. To make me understand that here in this world, we segregate ourselves and we don't like each other. Because I say oi and he says oh, and he wears his suit like this and he wears the jacket like that, and everybody hates each other. They tell me Jew. Because Lemala, everybody is the same. Of course, they told me I have to pay my debt, 27 years of sins, and I had to tell it to everybody. And I'm not going to ruin the end, but of course, the end is that they push me down to this world. And my eyes woke up in this world after going through this. What I told you now is not even a dot of the entire story. Which, needless to say, 2 years later, the transformation. Baruch Hashem, Bechasdei Hashem. So this is the real short version of it. The ones who can't make it for tonight, you can hear it on MP3. You can see it on DVD. You can see it on YouTube, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, everywhere, the CDs, wherever you want. You can see it. Needless to say that a live lecture is not even a close to listening to it. Only for the fact that in a live lecture you can ask questions, you can debate. More than that, you see my expression. And more than that, this is what people do not understand. That's why I refused for many years to do videos and audios and stuff like that. Because when you're sitting in the room with me, there are neshamot, all the souls, they get together. And this is the power of the live session. Because on a screen, you see a screen. It's dead. It's flat. But when you're sitting in a room, there is a connection between the souls. And the soul is already getting the injection. So I don't have to say much. I just have to sit. And you already get it by Wi-Fi. So I definitely urge you to come tonight. Much better than anything else that you planned for tonight. Bezad Hashem. If not, then I don't know if there's going to be any more chances to hear it live here in America. Because Mashiach is coming. You can come and listen to it in Israel, Bezad Hashem. But I definitely urge you to come. And if you can, then listen to it online in any format that you want. After that, I have hundreds of videos online of people asking me questions and different topics. Because Bemet, there's no way to describe it. Even what you hear online for 3-4 hours is not even a fraction of the entire thing. Besides the fact that 90% of what I remember and saw, there's no words to even describe it. You can't even put it into words. Or what we call in our terminology, letzamtzem, to contract it into something that my mind can actually understand. It's almost like telling a 2-year-old a mathematical equation and trying to explain it to him. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. But the point is not to get too many details. Once I used to give 7-hour lectures. People would be like already fainting on the floor. But tafasta merube lo tafasta, you give too much information, the person lives with a mess in their mind. So I narrowed it down. The point is not how much information you take, is what you take out of the lecture. So Bezad Hashem.
But if you were raised to go anti, could you be held accountable for the things you did? If you were taught that life, you know, Orthodox or whatever, the religion is disgusting, and you know, religious people are gross and all that stuff. Can you respond?
I'll tell you the thing is, this is the most common question that I get.
Right.
The million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, it's not your fault. You're at Tinoch Shenishba.
No.
You weren't raised. So I'll tell you what was my problem. There are two types of ways to do a sin. Ben Adam LaMakom, between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Ben Adam LaChavero, between one person to another person. They did not show me that I was cooking on Shabbat, or ripping letters on Shabbat, or driving on Shabbat. They did not show me what I didn't know. But you know what they showed me? You stole. You don't have to be a Jew even to figure out that stealing is bad. You don't have to be a Jew, so much more so a Jew, but you need common sense. So they showed me everything Ben Adam LaChavero. Stealing, lying, cheating, mocking, laughing, all these things. I was the bully of the class. I would mock people for the fun of it. So some things, yes, you're not accountable for. Because they tell, okay, you know. Besides the fact, there's a saying in the Israeli army, the fact that you didn't know, you still get the punishment. So it's almost like, you know, here in New York, you park in the wrong place, they give you a ticket. You tell the policeman, but I didn't know. I don't care if you didn't know. You park, you get the ticket. In our Torah, you see the example here that if a person, chas v'shalom, desecrates Shabbat by mistake, b'shogeg, still has to give a korban. Why? Because there's still a blemish done, still some type of damage. And the easiest way to explain it, imagine now you see a little kid, a three-year-old kid goes into the kitchen, opens the fridge, looks all the way up, sees like the chocolate pudding all the way up, starts climbing the shelves, pull out the pudding, and as he pulls it out, the whole fridge is on the floor. The mother comes into the room, assuming that she's a normal mom, she doesn't scream, and she doesn't lose it. And she doesn't... She doesn't hit the kid, she doesn't punish the kid, she doesn't do anything. She's like, I understand, it was a mistake. A normal mom. She's like, I understand, it was a mistake. But you clean up the mess. So they come to you in the Shemaim and say, listen, we understand, it wasn't your fault, but clean up the mess. You made a mess. So some things, it's completely not your fault, so you're completely clean. But the cheshbon in the Shemaim, the din in the Shemaim, is accurate. So you can't, that's what I said before, you can't hide behind a lie. So you can come and say, oh, I really didn't mean that. We know what you meant. So this is the problem that people think that someday in Shemaim they can bend corners. You can't. So the Torah tells you one thing, and then there's things that, okay, that you don't have to learn the Torah. To know not to cheat, and not to steal, and not to mock, and not to curse, and not to do all these things. So, yeah, a lot of things they didn't show me. But you know what they also showed me? What I missed, what I could have gained. And this is the worst feeling. You know, people come and constantly ask me, what's going on? Is that really fire? Do you really barbecue? They get barbecued there? You know what's the real Gehinnom? They say that the Gan Eden is a pillar of light. Kadosh Baruch Hu is standing in the middle. Kadosh Baruch Hu is compared to light. We see in many different types of teachings that Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Or. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu stands in the middle. The closer you are to the light, the more you benefit, the more you derive, the more you enjoy. The further away you from the light, you go into darkness. That's your Gehinnom. You're just not close to the party. It's almost like going to a concert of your favorite band and you're all the way at the end. You can't hear what? What? You're going to a lecture of your favorite rabbi, and there's no speaker, and you're sitting all the way, and you're like, I can't hear a word from what he's saying. So Gehinnom is not a barbecue. But sometimes, depends, each individual is different, but sometimes by them showing you could have gained that. You want to tell me that 5 minutes of wearing tzitzit, this is what I would get? Yeah. You want to tell me that reading another two capitals of Tehillim, this is what I would be able to achieve? Yeah. So... It's not about burning. It's almost like you buy with $1 the billion-dollar lottery ticket, and then somebody comes and tells you, "I'll give you $1,000 for that ticket." Of course, here I just bought it for a dollar. And the next day, that's the billion-dollar ticket. And you're like, I could have won the $1 billion, and I sold it for $1,000. So it's not necessarily that they, yeah, a person who has Torah, it's even worse, because you already know. It's a whole different category. But with me, they didn't show me mitzvot and things like this. They showed me the little things. Honoring your parents. You don't have to be a genius to honor your parents. You don't have to be a genius to be a mensch. Let's put it this way. So they showed me, listen, okay, so we're not categorizing you as a ben Torah. But you had to be such a not nice guy. So that's the problem, that the din, that the judgment in Shamayim is 100%. And unfortunately in our generation, people like to sugarcoat things and present it, that's a very bad attitude. Because then the neshama will come and say, hey, why didn't you tell me 100% the truth? That's not fair. Tell me 100% the truth, I'll do it. Don't round corners. So the problem is that we have to be true to ourselves. And we constantly lie to ourselves. That's the problem with most people, that they constantly lie to themselves. I mean, you can lie to anyone you want, but you can't lie to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you can't lie to yourself. You can convince yourself certain things, but if you look in the mirror, you cannot lie to yourself. You know the truth. So if you want to live the right life, then you be honest with yourself, 100%. Not 90%, 100%.